Boy, it's great to see everybody out here this morning. I know it's not 2019 yet, but we're looking ahead to that just in a couple days. And so Happy New Year once again. And we face 2019 with great anticipation for all that God has for us personally, as well as a ministry here at FBC. And so we just look forward to this new year. Again, with anticipation and maybe some with a little bit of trepidation, wondering what's going to happen. And of course, we don't know what lies before us, but we leave that in God's hands and we trust God for this new year. You know, we tend to have high expectations and great aspirations for the new year. And as was mentioned a few moments ago, the whole matter of resolutions. There are those who make resolutions. I heard just the other day that the average resolution lasts until January 12th. So I prefer to call it goals. Let's set goals and let's look ahead to all that God has for us. But oftentimes we run into barriers or discouragements. Sometimes while counseling, it's not uncommon for me to hear statements like, "My husband thinks more of his job than he does of me." Or, "We're going to keep our marriage together for the children's sake." Or maybe, "My wife has built her life around the kids and the grandkids." Or, "He spends more time with his parents than he does with me." We might say, "Well, what's wrong here? What's the problem?" Well, let me illustrate it this way. Yesterday I made cinnamon rolls. That's kind of my annual thing for the family. And I do it at Christmas, and then I made some more yesterday. I follow a recipe. Now I give it a few of my own little twists there. And boy, they are just delicious, if I might say so myself. But the first thing I do is I mix all the ingredients together, and then I add the cinnamon, and then the melted butter, and then after all that is mixed all together, I pour the goo on top of it and I spread it that on the dough, and then I add the yeast. Right? Some of you guys are saying, "Hey, sounds good to me." But that's not how you do it. All of those ingredients are part of the recipe. However, there is a process. And when that process is followed, then the cinnamon rolls come out just the way they're supposed to. And there are many who may have all the ingredients to living life. They have the good job, the spouse, the 1.7 kids, the minivan or SUV, excuse me. Everything just seems to be just right. And you might even attend church regularly. And so many people have all of that and they think they're doing okay. I mean, they have all the ingredients for a wonderful life. However, they may be getting things out of order. That which is missing is the process and procedure of biblical priorities. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, our text today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And as the title of our message is, first things first, but what's next? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. This verse is in the context of Jesus teaching about not worrying. Look at chapter 6, verse 24 and 25. "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And Jesus goes on then to illustrate by use of the birds. They don't worry about what they eat. They search and scavenge and they find what they need to eat. Or the flowers, they don't have to worry about what to wear. And so he says, you don't have to either. And he says in verse 31, therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, in this context, the ungodly, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these will be added to you as well. God, you put first things first, and the other things will fall into place as they ought. When you get your priorities straight, when you get them right, God provides that which is needed to make life all that He desires for you. So this is a very important topic, a very important time here together as we launch into this new year, 2019. And so here's the take-home challenge. Take-home challenge. Now, you have a blank sheet of notes there. You can fill them up all that you'd like, all right? But here's the challenge, and that is make God's priorities your priorities. Make God's priorities your priorities. So we want to look at features of priority living here this morning. Look at features of priority living. Here's the first feature of priority living, and that is priorities are important. You get this wrong, you get the whole recipe wrong, right? You don't get this process right, and things are going to fall apart. It's just not going to be the way it ought to be. So priorities are important. The Lord operates according to priorities. In John chapter 2 and verse 4, He says, Jesus says, my hour has not yet come. John 9:4 says, Jesus says, I must do the works of Him that sent me while it is still day. I need to put first things first in the right order while it's still day. I need to do what the Father wants me to do. In John 12:23, He says, my hour has come. The hour has come. In other words, for Him to complete the work that He was to complete. And in Galatians 4:4, it says, but when the fullness of time had come, when the time was just right, He sent forth His Son. So God lives, operates according to priorities. So priorities are important. These passages all stress that Christ lived a priority-oriented life. And there are many things that He didn't do because they didn't fit with the Father's plans, the Father's goals, the Father's priorities. But there are certain things, many things, that He did tirelessly because they did fit with the Father's plans and the Father's timing. So there's a saying that says it's easy to be busy, but it's difficult to be effective. It's like getting your car stuck in the snow. Lots of energy. You're revving the engine, but you're not getting anywhere. You're making very little progress. You see? It's easy to be busy, but difficult to be effective. Effectiveness is doing in a given situation what God wants you to do. And in order to accomplish that, you must have biblical priorities. It's not surprising that when the New Testament makes this an issue and gives it the attention it does. It's God's desire that you live according to priorities. Psalm 90 verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Putting things in the proper perspective. Ephesians 5:16. We are to redeem the time because the days are evil. So think about that. All you have to do is look at the life and world around you. And just, if I could say, the entropy, things breaking down. It's so different now than 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago even. You know, we need to make the most of our time because the days are evil. Priorities are a great way to help us do that. In Philippians 3, verses 10 to 14, we think of Paul, where he says, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth to the things which are ahead, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's a priority statement that he's making there. He said he hadn't arrived, but this one thing he does, he presses toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not these 40 things I dabble in, you've heard that, but this one thing I do, pressing on to live to the glory of God. Here's another feature. So this passage is a priority establishing passage here. A second feature here of priority living is that there are benefits to getting your priorities right. There are benefits here. First benefit would be knowing that your priorities or your goals are God's priorities gives you confidence. I think of Psalm 1, verses 1 to 3. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, or rather his delight, is in the law of the Lord. And on his law does he meditate day and night. What happens when you do that? When you put first things first, when you make God your priority, you'll be like a tree planted by rivers of water. There's going to be stability. There's going to be confidence. Strength will result when things are in the right order. Another benefit, provides direction for daily decisions and planning. In management literature, one of the greatest hindrances to production is the inability to make decisions. All right, what do I do next? What do we do next? If you can answer those questions based on priorities, you'll be effective. So it gives direction as to what things should be put first. Priorities help focus your energy. There are so many good things to do out there. Again, it's easy to be busy. It's hard to be effective. But the question is, how in the world can you become effective with all the things that you could do out there? How can you be effective? Well, the answer is right priorities. Isn't it true that the person who doesn't have their priorities right will be hurrying and scurrying all over the place, doing all different kinds of things, and then say, man, I don't even know what I got done. I don't even know what I got accomplished. Have you ever done that before? Could be because things weren't done according to priorities. Priorities help focus your attention. Here's another benefit, and that is it enables obedience to God. You know that when you get your priorities right, you're living to please God. You're being obedient to the Lord. You're doing what God desires you to do. And then another benefit is it helps you to evaluate. You can't possibly answer the question, how are you doing, unless you have something with which to compare. And you say, okay, I know that I have done what I need to do because I have lived according to my priorities, God's priorities, putting first things first. And then priorities, another benefit, is they provide purpose. You were created to bring glory to God. Isaiah 43, verse 7 says that. That you were created. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says just that. God desires fellowship with you. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 8, Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. Isn't that cool? You know, think about that. Adam was walking with God in the Garden of Eden. Man. But that's what God desires with you. Do you have that kind of relationship with God to where you're walking with God throughout your day? That's what He desires. And when you get your priorities right and you know that is a priority, it becomes a blessing and a benefit. And then it also gives you a plan for living. Some people, they just kind of launch out into the life and they don't have a clue. They just kind of take it as it comes. And man, you know, it's just like, that's kind of hoping for the best. But when you live according to God's priorities, as He sets forth in His Word, it gives you a plan for living. And so how do you know what are biblical priorities? Well, as you study the biblical text, you look for words like that and for, or this one thing I do. And those are indications of words that indicate purpose. So, we want to look at another feature of priority living, and that is to make sure your priorities are in biblical order. All right? Make sure your priorities are in biblical order. In other words, you start mixing all the ingredients together and you don't follow the procedure that the recipe sets forth, you're going to have a mess on your hands. It just won't turn out the way it should. So make sure your priorities are in biblical order. And, you know, sometimes you may think, well, things are just good enough. But I want to assure you, get your priorities in biblical order and it can be so much better because it's what God wants. So here are your biblical priorities in order. The first one is to be God's kind of person. You probably knew that was what it was going to be because Matthew 6:33, our text for the day, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's got to be your priority. But that's like the yeast in my cinnamon rolls. There are a lot of people that get that out of order. You get that out of order, it's not going to be right. Things will get flat. You seek first the kingdom of God. And all these other things fall into place as they ought. This is essential to life. If you've been with us here at FBC for a while, you've heard me mention 2 Corinthians 5:9. I'm going to mention it again. It says, so we make it our goal to please Him. That's a priority. And he goes on to say, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. What does that mean? Well, the next verse says, for or because, there's another purpose statement there, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or evil. So, you make it your goal to please Him, whether you're at home in the body or away from it, because we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or evil. What it's saying there is, you pleasing God, living to please God, making that your goal, your aim, is so important that you must do it whether you're dead or alive. Aren't you glad that God... I mean, it can't be clearer. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Live the way He wants you to live, and all these other things are going to be where they ought to be. And He'll provide for them. You make it your goal to please Him, whether you're at home in your body or away from it, dead or alive. I want to challenge you that if that is not your goal, to make that your goal in your life today and for 2019. That, when I've done counseling, and that's one of the first things I try to tell people is make your goal is to please God. And here's what I say. I say regardless of at least three things. First of all, regardless to your circumstances. Now, you're going to face all kinds of circumstances today. You're going to face all kinds of circumstances in the new year. Make it your goal to please Him, regardless to what happens in your circumstances. And then, secondly, make it your goal to please Him, regardless to what others do or don't do. If somebody says something to you that doesn't set right, make it your goal to please God. someone does something to you or against you, or why did they do that? Make sure it's your desire, your goal to please God, regardless of what they do or don't do. They didn't show up. Make it your goal to please God. Whatever it is. And then the third one, and I say, sometimes the third one is the most difficult. You must choose to please God regardless to how you feel. Some of you did that this morning. I don't feel like going to church. But you did. I hope you're glad you did. You did that which was a priority. You lived according to priorities. So, be God's kind of person. Seek first the kingdom of God. But so many people get so busy in other things that they don't find themselves being effective because they've missed this very important point. It's got to be first. And of course, salvation is essential. Or by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. There are some people who get that priority out of order. They say, I just got to keep getting better and keep getting better so that someday I might be able to stand before God. You can't. You got things out of order. You can't be good enough to stand before God. It is a gift. So you have to receive the gift of God before you start living for God. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. You have to receive the gift. Again, you get things out of order and there's a problem. There's all kinds of people out there that they'll say, well, I hope I make it to heaven. Well, how do you hope? Well, I'm just doing the best I can. It's not going to be good enough. I'm sorry. You have to receive the gift that was purchased for you through Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection. And then, Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works as a result of salvation. Get the priorities right. So salvation is essential. And trusting then the Lord at every turn. Romans 8:28 and 29. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. If you love God, which salvation and receiving His gift of salvation is the first indication of your love for God, you get that right, then you can know that all things are working together for your good. Again, you got to get the priorities right. Get them wrong, there's a problem. And then He says in verse 29, that He's conforming you to the likeness of His Son, to make you more like Christ. Trusting God at every turn, and then growing in righteousness. This would be a good passage for you to look up. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us. What teaches us? The grace of God. It's a reference to our salvation. And then living in light of that grace, continually, the grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled and upright and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get your priorities right. And God's grace teaches you how to then to live in light of His priorities. And the Bible knows nothing of believers who aren't growing and changing. If you're satisfied with where you are spiritually, you're in trouble. You need to be growing. Every one of us need to be growing. Because that's what God expects of us. Nobody has been fully conformed to the likeness of His Son. And so, that's one thing that you can say, you know what, I need to keep growing in 2019. Growing in righteousness. So as our title says, first things first. That's the first thing. Seek first the kingdom of God. Make it your goal to please Him. whether you're at home in the body or away from it, dead or alive, priority number one. God's kind of person. But what's next? You could probably have preached that yourself. And maybe you have preached that to yourself. You just need that reminder, right? We need that going into 2019. Put God first. But here's the next priority. For those who are married, to be God's kind of partner. God's kind of person, then God's kind of partner. The husband, be God's kind of husband. Loving your wife, meeting her needs. Helping your wife give a good account at the judgment seat of Christ. For the wife, a gentle, quiet spirit, being a helper. View your role as freeing your husband up so that he has time to serve and to help others as well. Your spouse ought to be your first earthly priority as far as earthly relationships, second only to the Lord, ahead of all other human relationships, to be God's kind of partner. Now let me say this. If you want to be godly, you need to be godly at home. Married or not. Because your home life is an indication of the godliness of your heart. So we're not saying be godly and then be God's kind of spouse or God's kind of spouse. I'm trying to think of my P here. Partner. But you have to be godly as you are God's kind of partner. You see? Godliness is the ingredient that runs through all of this. And by the way, on January 19th, we're having the couples conference coming up. So mark it down. Saturday morning, be there, aloha. So God's kind of partner, that's the second priority if you're married. If you're married and have children, to be God's kind of parent, to bring your children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Now, as you think of being God's kind of parent, it is the result of the marriage covenant. Children are the result of one of the expressions of love between husband and wife. And the result, then, is molding their character. As parents, that's your responsibility. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We see it in Ephesians chapter 6. It takes 9 months for a baby to arrive on the scene, but it takes 15 to 20 years to develop a mature adult. You are to disciple your children. Not just teach them how to behave, but to disciple them to live according to the Word of God. And for them to learn to put God first. How do you do that? Well, it's got to be first for you, right? It's got to be a priority in your life. Now, some of you say, oh, I'm not married, I don't have kids. But you know what? Children are watching, people are watching you. Are you allowing God to be the priority of not only your life, but your relationships? And so, again, just one thing I wanted as I was thinking about communicating this morning, it'd be very easy to be, okay, make sure you're God's kind of person, God's kind of partner, God's kind of parent. But remember that being God's kind of person means that your relationship with God is going to have an effect on your relationship with others, your partner, your children. Or if you're married, not married and don't have children, then your relationships with others. That God would influence those relationships greatly because that's what you should put first. The best contribution a dad and a mom can make to their children is to love each other biblically. To give attention to your relationship together. guard against a child-centered home. There are so many. I see this. Man, it just started happening during my parenting. My life as a husband and as a parent just started. And I saw license plates that say, kids first. Now, I understand, you know, kids are important. But in that importance, we bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. They don't take priority. You get that out of order and you have a mess. So guard against the child-centered home. Get your priorities right. The best way to be a good parent to your child is to be a good spouse to your spouse. It's so important. So, God's kind of person, God's kind of parent, God's kind of partner, God's kind of parent. And the next one is God's kind of parishioner, God's kind of church member. We've been handing out that book. I am a church member. If you don't have one, we'd like to give you one. See me after the service. I'll go get one for you. And we want you to have that. So many people have a wrong understanding of what it is to be a church member. Our culture is being a church member is all about me. And we'll find out in that book that it's not about you. It's about serving and ministering to one another. Makes it abundantly clear. Be God's kind of church of parishioner. Ephesians 4:6 says, from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. No pew sitters. Each part must do its work. You sit in the pew to get instruction to go out and do the work of the ministry. Using your gifts and abilities to serve the body. It's interesting when you think of this as a priority that 1 Timothy chapter 3, speaking of church leadership, they are to set the example. Verses 4 and 5 says, he, the church leader, pastor, elder, must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? That's how important all of this is. Of course, that being God's kind of parishioner includes being God's kind of ambassador to go and make disciples, to be a good representative of the Lord Jesus Christ beyond the four walls of FBC. And then the next priority would be God's kind of practitioner. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. Colossians 3, 22 to 24. Slaves, and in that economy, that would be the employee. Obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, your bosses, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So whether you're a plumber, whether you're a painter, or whether you're a physician, work diligently to the honor and glory of God. Do it as unto the Lord. Not for your boss, not for men, but for the Lord. See priority number one. Live to please God, even in the work environment. And then finally, you have God's kind of person, God's kind of partner, God's kind of parent, God's kind of parishioner, God's kind of practitioner, and then finally, God's kind of player. Talking about hobbies, the things that you enjoy. You know, after the disciples returned from a missions trip or a ministry assignment, Mark chapter 6, verses 30 to 32, the apostles returned to Jesus and told them all they had done and taught. They gave a report and they were all excited about it. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. There was an appropriate time for them to get away. To get some time off. To take a little vacation, a little R&R. But it was after all the other priorities were met. But let me say this. Even me time is not devoid of the Lord. You must still choose to please God in your me time. In your own time, you still, it prevails. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things will fall into place so long as you keep Him as your priority. Many people are in trouble because they have violated God's priorities. Taking time to grow wasn't important. I'm kind of satisfied with the way things are. Living life, a life that glorified God, wasn't important. I'll go to church. But does your relationship with God prevail in all other areas of your life? There are those who have had no time for developing a relationship with their spouse. And when you realize that you violated God's priorities, it's time to ask what prevents you from being the kind of person that God wants you to be. What is it that keeps you from putting God first in your life and in all these other areas of life? Now fasten your seatbelts. And I'm going to tell you. It's idols. Anything that displaces God's rightful place has become an idol in your life. And it's as though, whatever that is, you're bowing down and you're worshiping. Think about it. What is keeping you from putting God first, for living for God, seeking first the kingdom of God? Whatever that is, has displaced God and has become an idol. And you're worshiping that idol because it's more important to you than living to please God. That may be a wake-up call for many here. It would be a good thing to think about for a few moments or longer. If God is not in His rightful place on the throne of your life, what are you worshiping? What's more important to you than bringing glory to God? We've sung a lot today about bringing glory to God. That's not just something that happens on Sunday mornings. That should happen in your relationship with your spouse, your children, with other people in the church. It should happen in a church. It should happen on the job. It should happen with the neighbors. It should happen when you're all alone doing your own hobby. God should be first. And you put God first, and all these things will be added to you. Well, confession is good for the soul, right? You heard me confess last week about struggling with getting through security on time at the airport. Well, I told you I made cinnamon rolls, and I must confess, yesterday's batch was the second batch. We made the first batch. Candace helped me. I'm not blaming her, okay? But we enjoyed doing that together. And man, they were coming together. They rose so nicely. I mean, it was just, you know, they're supposed to double in size in an hour. And man, they just rose just like they were supposed to rise. We got the yeast right and everything. And while they were baking, there was just something just didn't seem right. And man, we had all the goo on there. I mean, and we took those things out. And oh, yeah. Oh, man. You know, we cut them. And we sit down. We start eating them. And we're like, hey, it's pretty good. But something's just not right. What is it? And Teresa says, you know, wives are good for these things. It doesn't taste like there's enough salt. I'm like, salt and cinnamon rolls? Come on. So she goes out, and I told Candace, I said, Teresa, you don't know this, but I said, she's checking me out, you know. Sure enough, she comes back and says, 4 teaspoons of salt. Oh, crud. Yeah, I just totally skipped over that completely. I missed it in the dry ingredients when I was mixing it up before Candace came. It was my fault. I'll take responsibility for it. But we knew something wasn't right. Something was missing. Maybe you're here this morning. Oh, by the way, yesterday's batch. I did not forget the salt. I'm here to tell you, if you're here and life just seems to be, it's okay. It's, you know, all the ingredients are there, but it may be that you're leaving something out. And that something is someone. And it may be the Lord. And it probably is. And I just want you to know that I want you to, the people here at FBC want you to, God wants you to have an abundant life. A life that brings honor and glory to God. And I'm telling you, that's the best life there is. Come to Jesus. Surrender to Him. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added to you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word. Your Word gives us this kind of instruction to help us to get things right. That's Your desire. You want us to put first things first, to put You first. And when we do that, we have that abundant life that we so desire and that we so often strive for, but so often people miss it. God, You don't want anyone here to miss this. People are here by Your design. And so I pray that they would seek You first, that we would all do that, that we would make that commitment to make it our goal to please You in 2019 and beyond, and that we would see Your blessings upon us to Your glory. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I trust you would make that commitment to live to please God, to seek His face, to make Him your priority of your day, so that you're going to commit to study or read the Scriptures, to spend time in prayer with Him, to build that relationship with Him that He desires. This is a great time to say, that's what I'm going to do in the days ahead. Maybe you've gotten away from it. Now's a good time to renew that commitment. Set that goal and say, I want to seek God's face daily and commit to live for Him daily. And just their Bible reading plans, you can go to YouVersion and they'll establish a plan for you. And through the Bible in a Year plans, make a commitment to help you grow. And maybe there's an area in your life where, you know what, it's a sin that so easily besets you, you can say, you know what, I'm going to get some help on overcoming that sin in my life. I'm going to start working. I'm going to start growing the way God wants me to grow. Make that a commitment. And if you're not getting the help you need, we want to help you. We want to encourage you. We have all kinds of literature in the cafe area. And if there's something there that you're struggling with, if it's not there and you're struggling with it, then talk with us. We may still have some literature, point you to some help, or give you some counsel.